Hey everyone, the time we're in is insane and we all feel helpless, but I'm always looking for things I can do to feel like I'm making a difference. I'm blessed to still be working and definitely trying to give whenever I can. I've also been patronizing small businesses and working with local restaurants to share their special offers to my audience. Hope you're safe. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, welcome to the Shrinks on Third. We're actually not in our usual studio today.
No, we're not.
We're still in our temporary studio in Washington, D.C., having a great time interviewing some Washingtonians.
Yes, we are. So we're here today with Cornelia Poku, who describes herself as a black girl super into food.
That's right.
Yeah. So by day, Cornelia is a communications manager at Biotechnology Innovation Organization, specializing in digital content development, branding, and agricultural and environmental communications.
Cornelia previously worked in food and agriculture public affairs for Watson Green, LLC. Now, in her off hours, Cornelia writes about the DC area food scene on Instagram as @BlackGirlsEatDC.
That's right.
Welcome to the Shrinks on Third Studio, Cornelia.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So tell us about your blog and how you got started.
Absolutely. So it was a couple of reasons that all happened at the same time. One of the things that I was thinking about at the time was I was working at Watson Green, and because I work in agriculture, that's not a group of people that are using Instagram heavily. And I found myself as a social media person and a media and a content person that I was not getting the experience with Instagram that I needed, and I wanted to have that experience. So I was kind of tossing around ideas, but around that same time as that I started feeling that way as well, I was moving out of the city and I wanted to have a way to stay connected to DC and have a reason to be here, because I know from experience that when you don't live in the city, you don't tend to come into the city. And so I decided I would do something related to eating in the city and use Instagram as my primary platform for that professional experience.
That will help you, I guess, as a content manager, and that's the kind of stuff that you do?
Right. That's the kind of stuff that I do and think about in my work. And I wanted to have multiple platforms to play on in my free time so that I could be better in my full-time job.
Eating is a reason that people go into the city. It's either like eating or maybe like theater or concerts or something.
Yeah, events. Yeah.
So you thought about eating.
Mm-hmm.
And why black girls eating? Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that you're, a black girl.
I am.
Or woman.
Mm-hmm. So when I got online, I wanted to have a different angle. I know that there's plenty of food bloggers all around, and I wanted to do something that I wanted to see. And there just wasn't, in my opinion, and at the time, there wasn't really a ton of easily accessible black bloggers. It's interesting because now that I'm in it and I'm meeting people and I'm engaging with people, there are several other, black women bloggers, but it wasn't at the forefront of their presence. Like a lot of time you'd see a hand or something like that, but they weren't part of their brand. And I decided that that's not what I wanted. I wanted it to be part of the brand. I wanted to engage with the fact that I'm a millennial, I'm a black woman who lives in the city, I'm a professional. And so I asked Bridget to join later on, but then it became about our friendship too.
Tell us, Bridget.
Who's Bridget?
Yeah.
So people who have been following for a while know that for the first year and a half, I was doing Black Girls Eat DC with my best friend, whose name is Bridget. We've known each other since we were 13.
Wow. Oh, that's girls, plural, black girls.
Yeah. After I came up with the idea, I asked her if she wanted to join, because we go out to eat together a lot anyways. And we were going to do that regardless of whether or not we got free food.
Oh, you get free food doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll hear about that in a minute.
Yeah, so that's just part of our friendship that has evolved over time, is trying different restaurants and just talking about food. That is something that, one of the many things that bonds us.
Sure, that's what friends do together.
Yeah.
Cool. Eat, mm-hmm. Break bread.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, we decided to go into it together. And more recently, her job has taken her away from having the time to be able to participate. So now it's just me.
Are you sad about that?
Yeah, I was really sad about that.
Oh, it's hard to go eat alone. I mean, now you need to bring other people with you.
Yeah, I mean, she still comes when she can.
She'll still eat.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But I've also like extended it to other people and had just brought other people along with me as well. So,
which could be interesting and different, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's always fun to, because I've gotten so used to it. It's always fun to see someone else experience it through new eyes.
So tell us about it. You get free mm-hmm. food, but tell us about we're very curious about
how do you
that.
Get free food. Yeah,
how does this work? What do you do?
Sure. So most of the time a place will reach out to me, or a PR person for a place will reach out to me.
They reach out to you?
That's, yeah.
Wow. Did that take a while?
Probably by the time I got to the first 1,000 followers, that started happening.
Okay.
And also I'm part of different food groups. So what will happen is a PR person may say, hey, you bring 2 or 3 other bloggers, or 5 or 10 other bloggers, depending on what their budget is. And we'll feed you all, you know, in exchange for some content or whatever. And yeah, and then I just kind of go ahead with that. Most of the time I do tend to go alone or with a friend that I know happens to be available. And we're there. We talk to, when possible, we talk to the manager or the chef or the owner, depending on who's available. Get some information about the restaurant, take as many photos as we can, and just try to give them their money's worth in content.
Do you try to focus on minority-owned businesses or certain kinds of food?
We focus on the people who reach out to us.
So people who offer you free food.
Yeah. Of course.
Could be anybody.
It tends to be a wide range of people, but I will always shout out if it's women-owned, minority-owned, black-owned, and I make that very explicit. And, you know, if it's all three, that's even better.
Oh, yeah.
And that's happened several times where black women will reach out or stuff like that. But interestingly enough, there's not as many black women food entrepreneurs as there are black men food entrepreneurs. And there, of course, in general, there aren't as many black food entrepreneurs as there are the other types of restaurants in the city. So it's always a little bit of a weird, I'm kind of scouting it, but I'm also trying to, like, you know, reach out to them. And it's weird because obviously we're Black Girls Eat DC, and we tried at some point to really like work with black restaurant owners and like really kind of, you know, get involved in that scene. And it was just so difficult to kind of get these restaurants to work with us. And I see online that they are more willing to work with people who are not black.
So they don't want to brand themselves as a black restaurant.
I think that's what ends up happening sometimes. And so it becomes a question of like, okay, well, am I going to go spend my own money there, or will I go somewhere where the food is free? Because
so you want to highlight black business, but they're trying to,
they have their own worries
about
right.
what will happen to them if you highlight them,
right? So it's like a really interesting dynamic to kind of navigate. I still don't know what to do about that.
The hope, I guess, ultimately, right, would be that all of these restaurant owners, no matter what their race, would want to highlight their restaurant to everybody.
Yeah, there's not really an answer. And if I'm already going there, of course, like I'll shout it out and stuff like that. And sometimes a PR person who is the in-between or the medium between the restaurant owner and the restaurant brand with us will be able to like explain the value of that. And so then there's not really an issue. But when we when we go directly to the restaurants, we have like a huge issue, whereas a lot of other bloggers do not have that same roadblock when they try it.
It feels very strongly like it's an issue having to do with race and how the owners, they don't want their restaurant full of Black people because maybe then the white people won't come in.
Or they don't want it to seem like, just because I'm a Black owner doesn't mean I'm only making food for Black people.
Right, right.
And therefore maybe Black Girls Eat DC is not the first place I want to
market myself.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's frustrating.
That seems like the best way to look at it.
Because I understand too, like you can't anywhere really, you can't just open a restaurant for a certain type of people. You can make a certain type of food that a certain type of people will be attracted to or a certain culture will be attracted to. But, you know, especially in DC where the population has changed so much, they don't want to come off as like, we just opened a Black restaurant for Black people.
Right.
Because I have followers from all over the place. Mm-hmm. But because of that forefront, like Black Girls Eat DC, it kind of creates like a little hurdle with an unexpected group. But then on the other hand, too, I do know that I work with PR people who will reach out to me because I am Black and because they want to make sure that everyone can come to their restaurant. Everyone feels welcome to come to their restaurant.
So that's the positive side of this.
Yeah.
Right.
We're not there. Yeah, I mean, and it's not often, but sometimes like someone will comment like, why does it matter that it's a Black owned restaurant or something? Or they'll DM me and say like that, you know, why did you say that? And I don't engage because you don't have to follow me. The Instagram is free.
Because that was a fact and I mentioned it.
Because you wanted to.
Yeah.
That's why.
There's this statistic that Black women are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in the country, but you don't necessarily see that.
You're still looking for them.
Right.
At least in the food scene.
Yeah, I can't wait to see more opportunities. But because of the way that DC is changing so quickly, you're getting a lot more TV chefs kind of coming into the city to open up restaurants.
Chains where they already have other restaurants in other cities.
Right, there's a lot of chains. There's a lot of chefs who want to open up their own restaurant, their own project in the city and already have a following. And with the prices and everything in DC, it's just harder to try to start a food business. So
that has to do with gentrification.
Right.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So the restaurants are getting fancier, more expensive, owned by famous chefs. Mm-hmm.
Thus, more of a need to be fed for free, but also...
Yes.
But also, you want to go places where, you know, when you recommend it to friends and stuff, they could actually go there.
Right. So that's something that I make sure to do is I will always point out, especially expensive or especially reasonable, because everyone's budget is different, so I always make sure to point that out.
So do you feel like you make a statement with Black Girls Eat DC?
Yeah, I do. I think that one of the things that I really appreciate is that people feel like they can talk to me, and I'm always surprised at the conversations that I end up having on Instagram in messages and stuff like that. Like, people feel like I'm a friend. And they can ask me for a personal recommendation, even though I post almost every day. They can reach out and say, hey, my birthday, and this happens multiple times a week.
Someone who doesn't know you.
My birthday. Hey, my birthday is coming up. You know, I really need a place to go. Like, what would you recommend? I'm coming into the city and I only have a couple of days. What would you recommend? And sometimes people will go to restaurants and they know I haven't reviewed it yet, and they'll reach out to me and, you know, insist that I have to go. Like, and it just feels like there's that like bonding that happens online. I feel like because we made that conscious effort to put our faces and our friendship, being me and Bridget, at the forefront, people felt like they could be part of that.
Also, it like a comfortable, welcoming kind of picture. Mm-hmm. And it's worked, obviously, because you get people reaching out to you.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of like food trends in the area, and I'm not going to go somewhere that I know that is largely inaccessible. And if I do, if a place invites me and they have pricier food, I'm going to say, this is a special occasion type of meal. This is something that, you know, you might want to save up for, because most people are not spending $60 a plate. Most people are just going out with their friends after work or to brunch on Saturday.
You want that $4 happy hour.
Right.
That includes food.
So I just make that part of my brand is making sure that people feel like they can also go there.
Do you ever have the experience maybe in one of those upper level restaurants where you feel uncomfortable, like people aren't polite or they're rude to you, like racial issue?
If the restaurant asked me to be there, I don't really have that issue. But for sure, we've been places and especially on our own, being me and Bridget, but we've been places where it's not very overt in the way that we're treated, but it's sometimes very subtle. I'm trying to think of a specific moment, but like, you know, you just
those microaggressions.
Yeah,
that
it's
microaggressions.
Like me and my husband went out once and I don't even remember what the waiter did. If I remember, I'll tell you in a second. But I was just irritated because he just was so dismissive of us. And I saw him at another table and
fawning over people.
Yeah. And I was like, what? Like what
oh,
is
like
this?
He can be a nice guy.
Right. He can
he
be.
Isn't.
Right. And he just didn't seem to be like paying us any attention. But stuff like that happens plenty.
Yeah.
So do you end up blogging about it at all? I mean, do you sort of point out we didn't feel welcome here?
No, I probably wouldn't. I just wouldn't post about it. It's not worth it.
I was going to mention that not even having to do with racial stuff, anything. I mean, we follow at Black Girls Eat DC. And you don't post negative things that I've seen.
I don't make it a habit to post negative things. Or if I do, I make sure I talk about it holistically. Like, if there's a meal that I didn't care for, I will say I did not care for this meal. The restaurant was nice. The people there were nice. This just maybe wasn't the right
thing to
order.
Maybe I'll try again and something else will be delicious.
Right. Like, you know, just a couple weeks ago, I posted about this restaurant. Actually, just right up the street from where we are right now. And the meal I ordered was not that great. But it was great service. It was, you know, it was a small, intimate spot. I didn't have any issues there.
So you're a person that finds the positive wherever you go.
I try to, yeah.
And you throw in just a little bit just to let people know, like, and...
Well, you don't want to condemn a place just because you ordered something that you didn't like. You
know? Right. I think it's important because at the end of the day, the entire concept is my opinion.
Yeah.
So I just need to be thoughtful about that. And I do not have the influence to like tank a business or anything like that. But I don't want to trash anybody either. There was a time where I was like very honest about chain that I went to. And because they're a chain, I was like, they're not going to notice. But they actually reached out to me and asked me to come back and try something else.
Oh.
And I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate
because they cared.
Was it better?
Yes, it was better. And,
okay, good.
And also, I also did more research. So it was the first in this area of a fast food restaurant. And I did not know what to expect when I got in. And I think with like thinking holistically, it is a fast food restaurant. So what was the scale that I was judging it on?
Ah, right.
And being thoughtful in that way.
That's a good point because you go to fancy places too. So
right.
You can't compare that.
Exactly. So, and I put that in my second review and I said, you know, last time I was very harsh because I was thinking about this, and this, but being more fair, this food is good.
Yeah. And how do you say negative stuff if... Mm-hmm. They paid for your meal. Like,
well, you can.
That's hard too, right?
You have to be able to do that.
I know you do, but you have to be, I don't know, like tactful.
Yeah, you just have to be, you know, tactful.
Say some good stuff, throw the thing in and say some more good stuff.
Exactly.
I think it's amazing that this fast food chain actually reached out to you. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was, I did not see that coming. So, and then there's another time where I was also critical of a restaurant. They didn't offer me free food, but they did say, please come back, there's better stuff, like try this something else, but they didn't offer to pay for it, so I haven't been back.
But but they want to please you.
Right. I do think that one of the important things to a lot of restaurants is feeling like anybody can come there, and I think that that is part of the reason why people reach out. There's so many bloggers, I cannot overstate that enough.
But food bloggers?
Food bloggers. There's so many. But I think that people reach out to us specifically because we know that you're Black. We know that the people who follow you are Black, and we want them to feel like they can come here and, you know, enjoy the place. And
that's
stuff
a
like
good
that.
Thing. That's a good
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's great. I want everyone to feel like they can go somewhere and feel comfortable and enjoy a meal and discover something around them. So I've been to every quadrant, but I've also been to like most corners of the city at this point. And I want people to know that there's something around you that you can enjoy.
And you can feel comfortable in the setting and not worry about feeling unwelcome.
Yeah.
And you like when people reach out to you, like you want them to at Black Girls Eat DC?
Yes, I do. I feel a ton of pride when someone's, this past week especially, there was this restaurant I recommended out in Maryland. And this past week specifically, I guess people had extra time. Everyone's been like going back and messaging me or commenting underneath the original picture and saying, thank you. We finally went. It was amazing. Like, really appreciated it. It was like, it was a great night out or something like that. I take so much pride in that.
You gave him a good time. You weren't even there.
Yeah, exactly. And if I can help drive business for people who have taken the time to show me how passionate they are about their food, that makes me proud.
Yeah, so. I have to guess that most restaurant owners are really eager to please their population.
Yeah.
And and they love cooking, and like, so it's so meaningful to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even if people don't like their food, they think it's good stuff. They're not trying to put out bad food.
No, right. They're working hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to a restaurant recently where the chef, he was a top chef winner. He was, you know, his sous chefs were back there cooking, and he would pick it up and walk it over to the table. He's like served us personally, and I wasn't even invited. So he was just doing that because that's what he does.
He wasn't trying to impress you.
Right. He wasn't trying to impress me. Certainly.
Did he know that you were a blogger, or like, do you tell your...
Nothing.
Okay, so when you just go out for fun, you don't like announce yourself.
No, I would. Okay. No, that sounds so. That seems so pretentious. Like, I know some people do it. Some people will do it. I just know.
So you saw him in his natural environment.
Yeah, I saw him in his natural environment. And that's just what he does. You know, he just walks around and serves people and has conversations with them. And that was really like, if you love food, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter how big or how famous or whatever you are. So
yeah, I'm sure he still wants to make the people dining there happy.
Right.
Well, you have a fun hobby?
Yeah, it is. It's been like wonderful for me to do that. But also, you know, the original intent was to grow in my field. And, you know, there's not.
Now you're going to quit your job and just eat?
Not quite yet.
It doesn't pay the rent. It just feeds you.
No, it does not pay the rent. What it does, it saves me grocery money. But it's also really wonderful because I work in agriculture where there is not a lot of Black people. Yeah, I often am the only Black person in the room. But I think also having an understanding of where our food comes from and the food system of our country, the policy around it, the way that it gets to our table, how it's cleaned, how it's processed. And I just also have learned so much about literally from farm to table.
And so, you still eat out, so that gives me a lot of hope.
Yes. Yeah, I get that question a lot. Like,
now that you know.
Yeah. We're like working in agriculture, like, do you trust our food system more, or are you more distrustful of it? And I always say I have 100% trust in our food system.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's certainly not perfect. No country's is, but if I had to wager. Yeah, I feel safer eating our country's food, and all those, like, you know, marketing labels about gluten and GMOs and all that stuff, like, doesn't mean anything to me.
What do you mean by that?
Because there's a lot of branding that goes into the food that you buy, even the term farm to table and locally sourced and GMO free and all that stuff. Like, there are marketing meanings behind it, but a lot of them have such deeper, like, political meanings.
Yes.
You know, I work through, like, sorting all that stuff out and understanding what it does or doesn't mean. And, yeah, making decisions about what I want to eat.
So you don't feel like the GMO thing is a big deal, even though it's on labels?
It's not, actually. So one of the things I want to do, and I actually want to do in general, is just educate people more about food. So I went to a dinner recently with a PR person, the restaurant owner, and a couple other food bloggers, and my job came up, and somebody asked me about GMOs, and I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's nothing. And she was like, what do you mean? And we had this whole long conversation about GMOs, and I didn't know that it bothered people still so much, because I kind of have stepped...
Like, you've known about this stuff because you work in it for years.
Yeah, so I kind of got comfortable and didn't really think about the fact that even people who are food bloggers or quote unquote understand food still don't understand where it comes from. There's kind of a break that happens between agriculture to like farming to processing and then processing to table. And there's a break there that people don't tend to understand.
And there's a lot of branding and political and exactly stuff that happens in between.
Exactly. So
I get that, but like the gluten-free stuff, some people get sick over that.
I understand that. And of course, like gluten allergies are absolutely real. However, I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding about what actually has gluten in it and like how much people can eat. Most people are not actually allergic to it. It's actually a very like rare condition. So the idea that people go on these entire gluten-free diets or something like it's more of a diet than it
trendy
is.
Trendy thing.
It's but some people thing. Are yeah. sensitive to it.
Oh, absolutely.
I know people who are without the full-blown allergy.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So
it's, so that's what confused me. But you're just saying in general.
Yeah, in general. And I think that some people, because of that sensitivity and the culture around it, I think some people think that if you cut it out or something, you're better for it.
Right. And so then it does become a trend.
That's exactly. Yeah. Then that's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah. And we should just all do that because.
Mm-hmm. But that's so interesting because in the world of food, there are tons of trends.
Right.
Tons.
Right.
And they keep changing and shifting and everyone feels like they need to eat oats or whatever. And then no one's eating oats. And then it feels like everyone's looking for a way to eat that's going to be exceptionally healthy. Or
it's going
to
help us live forever.
Yeah.
Right. I would agree with that.
You're in such a fascinating field, really.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love what I do. And I want to spend more time using my platform to teach people in general, because I think that there's a lot of like misunderstanding. Like, I am not a scientist. A lot of what I do is just communicating what scientists do to the general public.
But that's so important.
Yeah.
Nobody does that. Not
a translator.
Yeah, a translator.
Between things we totally can't understand
so
we can.
I want to make sure that people who go to restaurants, you know, can make good decisions for themselves.
Yeah.
Or even the food store buying stuff.
Yeah.
Cornelia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You can follow The Shrinks on Third on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Till next time, take care.